mashallah. And this was one of the late ones that Sheikh Noor composed after reading the book of Al-Halaj by Massignon, but in English, George Mason. And he took, this is also a lot of Al-Halaj's own words and visions. And he, yeah. So this is really a transmission from Allah. I feel it so strongly. And today, I don't know why, I feel his presence, his light so strongly. You know, maybe, is it the sacrifice of the Ramadan, the sacrifice of our limited selves? You know, maybe he comes in, maybe this was a special day. Who knows, it might be some anniversary. But he truly did suffer at the hands of his companions. It's amazing. You would not think that such high souls would turn around and have him executed. But but there were many who took his side and who didn't agree with it. There were many Sufis who were not in agreement. But the judges, it shows you the power. It was like the power of the Catholic Church in Spain, you know, during the
Inquisition.
Yeah, Inquisition. It was the power of the judges and really strong. So, but anyway, as he said, so we have to think that this was Allah's sacrifice, as Allah said, your sacrifice is really mine. It was not a separate being called Al-Halaj who offered himself to God. This was God's own sacrifice and own offering so he could become this momentous lover for humanity and become a sign of love, of true love, and inspire lovers. And Effendi said, and he said, because it's from Halaj himself, he said, whoever my ash lights upon, whoever drinks of my ash, one, you know, will be a lover eternally. And so, inshallah, his ashes have fallen upon us and upon our community so that we burn with this love. Ooh, these are wonderful, and it should be contemplated. This is a particularly strong Ilahi to contemplate. You know, wow, and of course it makes me think of Noor too, this Ilahi, because Noor also, I mean, every being experiences this kind of sacrifice. Every living being, we're all down here on earth, and that in itself, that separation, apparent separation, is itself the sacrifice, you know, that Allah asks of us to return and to manifest and to be the place of manifestation for Allah's own secret, Allah's own hidden treasure. So, but then in our lives, you know, we experience suffering and sorrow and challenges, distress, all of that. And if we do it, if we live that life for Allah's sake, then all of that becomes like a crown, you know, like a lover's crown. If we don't, then it's almost like wasted, wasted pain. But whatever we do for Allah is exalted. So, inshallah. This one reminds me particularly of Shaykh, with all creation in my arms, will this earth sustain my weight? At the cry, I am truth, will paradise evaporate? That's an amazing one also, of the heart that is containing, you know, all creation, all beings, that heart of love, that open heart. But this is an Ilahi of essence, you know. This is a teaching of essence. And that was part of Halaj's teaching. It was about love and about essence, that, you know, he did not rely on the temple of his form or on the divine names. He returned to the essence, and he lived in the essence. So, Alhamdulillah. Let's offer a Fatiha for Al-Halaj, the secret heart of Hazreti Pir Nuruddin Durrahi, a great lover and master of essence, and Sheikh Muzaffar Ashqi Al-Aziz Al-Durrahi, a great lover and master of essence, and Sheikh Noor Al-Anwar, a Malik Al-Durrahi. great lover and master of essence. Fatiha Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmani rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayru maghdubi alayhim wala dhalin. Amin. Alhamdulillah. And that's a powerful one too. Kill me now, O faithful ones. Killing me will make all live. Our life Allah, our death Allah, dwelling as essential love. That killing me will make all live. How the martyr's death is actually brings life to the earth, you know, and increases goodness. That's so amazing. So that life offered for God really and for humanity. But we know that from many people actually who become like martyrs, you know, like we know Martin Luther King or Gandhi, but this is true of all the saints, that their death brings a heightening and for humanity, and brings a blessing to humanity, even though it can be tragic on one level and sad and very sad on some level, but then on another level it becomes this great blessing, because their message, the message of their life, is then shared with many. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it amazing that death is almost like the seal of the message itself, as though...
For all of us.
What?
For all of us.
For all of us, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. So...
But Jacob, why do you think it is life?
Because death is life. Death is rebirth. That's why it's not... We always think of death as such a
final
scary thing, but it's rebirth.
I was reading in the front, it's almost like every seven lines or something, it'll say, you know, look to the earth.
Uh-huh.
You make it lifeless, and after it's been lifeless.
Oh, interesting, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. the death and the resurrection and the death and the resurrection. Yeah, that's true. And encouraging us to our own death. I mean, you know, our own dying before dying. I mean, I feel many of us during this Ramadan, I know I feel I have tasted a little bit of that, of the dying before dying, you know, whether it be just in the thirst and hunger, or whether it be on deeper internal levels of, you know, pain and maybe feeling of incompleteness or being separated, you know, or whatever, however the affliction comes. But it can be so intense in the Ramadan. It's amazing. And this Ramadan has been a very intense, I think, cleansing.
Just making us so aware,
yeah,
of the limitations and the yearning to be beyond the limitations.
Yeah.
Here we are as human beings.
Right.
Can't necessarily get beyond.
Right.
But
I guess essentially you can be, you know, the limitations are finally not, I mean, if they're just outer limitations, if they're limitations of the spirit, yeah, but otherwise limitation, you know, our limitations of being in a body is not a limitation to being merged in God. I mean, and this is one of the great revelations of these latter revelations. And I would say that the Mohammedan revelation is amazing that way, even though many of those saints were killed who lived that truth or who proclaimed that truth. But so, you know, an outer limitation is not a limitation, and it can be actually a means of attaining, because through our limitation. And inner, we too, you know, what do we call an inner limitation? I don't know. I mean, if we're aware of it, it's almost no longer a limitation. But what we, as, you know, aspirants or see as our limitation can be the means for, you know, going beyond it. Or it's amazing, wherever we can use anything, and Allah uses everything to call us. And so, you know, that any kind of step or suffering or reflection, yeah, but it is amazing how the 10 days, I mean, can lift agonies. You go into agony and then have it lifted, but if we had not tasted the agony, we could not experience that joy, you know, of having it lifted from us. And maybe the Ramadan is that time where we can experience that agony and be somehow supported in it. Otherwise, we couldn't even get close to it, to that degree of pain or repentance, or, and it can go very quickly. One moment of true repentance, which is that absolute burning in the heart, will burn away actually years of heedlessness. Or so I guess in that sense we shouldn't be afraid of it. What do you think, Khalil Baba? Tell us something.
I think in this last 10 days, mm-hmm. maybe it's a chance for us to go into what they call the Saumabhatim, the inner fasting.
The inner fasting, yeah. Mm-hmm. You feel it's the in the last 10 days. I feel it came very much also in the middle. I feel the first 10 days is a body fast and you're kind of supported and it's struggle. And then the middle is like, you go all of a sudden like a plunge into another inner level. But maybe the last 10 days it's with more ease of fasting, you know, that you fast from self or fast from, but it might not have that agony, I don't know.
But I think struggling with the nafs is a great jihad, as they mm-hmm. put it. And it truly is.
It is.
This is the real challenge of fasting, at least right. for me.
Yeah.
And they include that the fasting of the nafs is zahiri fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fasting of the ear, the eye, the tongue, and uh-huh. the nafs.
Right.
They include it into the zahiri, the outer fasting.
Uh-huh. That's interesting now, but this is an interesting point. So you're saying that actually the fasting of the faculties is still the outer fasting.
Still, the Waliullah put it in that category.
Yeah. Yeah.
The regular fasting as we know it, abstaining yeah. from food, and the fasting of the eye, the mm-hmm. ear, the tongue, and the nafs.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you call the nafs?
The lower self, fasting of the lower self, is included in, they include it into the outer fasting, Salma
right.
Zahir.
Right. Right.
Now, when they come to Salma Batin, the inner fasting,
right.
now they use the phrase of fasting of the kalb, Salma Kalb,
yeah.
and then Salma Ruh,
yeah.
and then Salma Sir.
Wow.
In these last 10 days, you know, I guess when we go into the itikaf,
yeah.
whether formal or informal, we withdraw yeah. more from the earth
yeah.
or earthly relations. We go to halwet, actually,
right.
itikaf,
right.
we are going into the halwet in our lives maybe, while right. doing our daily work. I think in that state we have a chance to observe that fasting, the inner fasting.
Right.
And
but let's take those stages. I think it's in, okay. The fasting of the heart.
Of the heart, Salma Kalb.
Mm-hmm.
I think they describe it. The Waliullah describe it as keeping the heart from the invasion of the earth, worldly.
Mm-hmm. So any other thought or desire mm-hmm. for anything other than Allah,
heart,
right?
They say at that stage is Baytullah.
Baytullah.
And it is protected from nafs-e ammare,
right.
from the lower self.
Right.
And that's Salma Kalb, the fasting
right.
of the kalb.
Right.
And then I think the next step is, next phase is Salman Ruh.
Ruh.
The testing of the spirit.
Right.
In that station, the person does not even incline to the nimets of the hereafter.
Yeah, to the hereafter.
He's not even
yeah.
inclining
yeah.
to what they call Naim,
mm-hmm.
giving the name of the fourth paradise, Jannatul Naim.
Mm-hmm.
That the blessings of Allah is plentiful.
So you don't, well, let's say it then, because the Jannat, as we know, can manifest in this earth, so we don't even long for bliss.
So one step before the Salmi Ruh,
yeah.
the fasting of the spirit.
Oh, yeah, we have, what did we do? We did the fasting of the heart and the fasting of the spirit, which fast from the desire for any paradisic state.
Anything. So we are not, the person does not even incline for the gifts of the paradise.
Right.
So they are not, the person is not after what they call Naim, the gifts, but after the Munim, the one who gives,
the giver,
the benefactor,
yeah.
the one who gives, bestows
right.
the gifts. And the next stage, phase is Salmir Sir. The fasting of the inner secret, and the way I read it is, it's a phase where there is nothing left to see but Allah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nothing is left to see but Allah.
Mm. Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, may we give him the wisdom.
Ameen.
And the permission.
Yeah.
And the courage.
Mm.
Inshallah, and the gift of living that.
Ameen. Ameen.
Before we physically pass away.
Ameen. Ameen. Let's make a fatiha on that for everyone in this community and all lovers and seekers and longers who long for those, that realization, that ultimate realization to the secret heart of our peers. A fatiha. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Yeah, I don't know. It just takes actually hanging around the realized people, you know. That's really what it takes. That's the best thing we can do, you know. And therefore, when we gather, those realized ones are here. Effendi's here, Noor's here, Azreti Pir's here, Mevlana's here, Mansur Al-Hallaj is here, mashallah. Shamsi Tabriz is here, inshallah. But that fasting of the sur, well, mashallah. I mean, letting go completely also of self, of any sense of self, what Mansoor said, you know. I think the fasting from the sur is letting go of even all, either sense of self or, you know, even sense of self. Or even request from just becoming the complete vessel without separation. Dear sisters, brothers, dear, save me from the living truth who steals away my sense of self by crying out on Allah. That's 27C. I thought I'd read you this letter. Okay, Araki's letter to Kunawi. Kunawi was the kind of adopted son of Ibn Arabi. Ibn Arabi married, which is his mother, after the mother's husband, who was apparently a great sheikh, passed, and Ibn Arabi married the mother and adopted her son, called Sadruddin Kunawi. And he became his main caliph and promoter, and he was then the sheikh of Iraqi. Salaam alaikum, alhamdulillah, Muhammad Noor. And this is Iraqi writing, and it said that Qunawi gave the khutbah at Rumi's funeral, but actually died soon after, or very close to Rumi's passing. So this is Iraqi's letter to his sheikh. Praise belongs to Allah, and peace be upon him, his chosen servants. In the heart of your sincere servant, Iraqi, love, which incites unrest and is mixed with pain, and which constantly rattles the chain of desire and strife and ignites the flame of longing and rapture, has kindled the flame of my passion and burnt the haystack of my life's course to such an extent that its fire can be snuffed out only where the earth of the lane and the muddied course of my life can be purified only with the water of the visage of our Lord, the manifest guide. This is the Prophet Muhammad. Sayyid is Lord, is the translation. The manifest guide and the great conjunction, the leader of the Sharia and the Tariqah, the locus of theophany for God and the truth. May he remain forever a refuge for the people of the way and an authority for the masters of verification. And then he has a poem. Where is that loved one? For even though I have reached your door, I am still troubled. Where will I find that luck that you will come sweetly through my door? And then he goes on the letter. From the intensity of separation's burning and the period of exile's duration, this business is near to destroying me. The knife has reached the bone. My incapacity has arrived at its limit, and weakness has overcome me. And that secret has not remained behind the curtain as it was. So in parentheses it said, and that secret of my great love for you, I don't know if that's the editor, has not remained behind the curtain as it was, since my suffering has become obvious to all. How could it remain so? How? The door is locked, the veil thrown down, and the key, although hung upon the door, is behind the veil. There will be no rest until the curtains are lifted and the door of the house is opened. So is there any kind companion or sympathetic friend? And then another little couplet. Separation, till when? Exile, how long? Should I complain of my state to other than God? O my master, whoever leaves his people is an exile, and the exile's torment is severe. So happy is he who has not been exiled from his homeland and has not left the presence of its inhabitants. Through gazing upon the lights of its essence, he is able to do without the lights of its attributes. He travels, but he abides upon the carpet of contemplation. He traverses the way, moving from place to place and light to light. He undergoes constant changes in the lights of the names and attributes. He goes beyond the stages of the spiritual climbing and ascent. But he is immobile, not moving, having no agitation. And then he quotes the Quran, thou seest the mountains that thou supposest fixed, passing by like clouds. So here we have a traveler with the highest friend within the paths of the eternities without beginning and the eternities without end. He undergoes constant changes with him in the mornings and evenings, in keeping with his constant changes in states and circumstances. So the his is referring to Allah. The tongue of his spiritual state recites, I do not know what homelands we are passing by when he is with me. How could the thought of any place be other than distasteful to us? The possessor of this station, like you, my lord and master, so he's referring to Qunawi, needs no exile, nor does he content himself with any return. But as for him who has not reached this mighty station of contemplation, like this exile, he is always moving toward abandoning that within which he has appeared and entering into that from which he has exited. Surely unto God all things come home. The tendencies of my temperament and the injunctions of the Sharia keep on inciting me to return to my original homeland and the mine of union, which is the like treasure mine, which is the radiant threshold and shining station of our Lord. But whenever this uneasy one decides to return to that land and turn his face toward that sanctuary, some obstacle catches him by the skirt, and escape from it seems impossible. So he says the Sharia and his own inner longing keep inciting him to return to his original homeland and the mine of union from where he came, from that perfect unity. But he says then something always seems to catch his skirt. The waves of desire refuse all except nearness to you, but circumstances reject all except distance. Wow, so his desire leads him only to nearness, but the circumstances of the divine names playing in the work in the world create the distance. Each day my mind pulls me to one place, my heart draws me to another. The Sharia commands toward a perfection, and the truth does what it will as it must. What can this poor soul do? He saw, and then he quotes Ibn Arabi, he saw lightning in the east, so he yearned for the east. If it had sparked from the west, he would have yearned for the west. For my love is for the friend and his people. My love is not for places and dirt. Ibn Arabi. I hope that the magnetism of your all-vanquishing resolve will begin to attract and cause motion. That's, he's talking to Kanawi, his teacher. The end of the tether is in your hand, and I am trained to the hand. When you pull me toward yourself, I will return to you. I have been so nearly destroyed by separation from you that if you do not take my hand, I will never be able to stand up. My resolve requests me to return, but my courtesy says, only if you are given permission. So the servant stands bewildered between the two. Look, what do you see? Is there then any way for union? Wow. So here it's clearly, you know, he's speaking to Allah. And he says to Allah, when you pull me toward yourself, I will return to you. My tether is in your hand, as Allah said. My, you know, my forelock, is what the Prophet said, is in your hand, Allah. Because Allah says the forelock of every creature is in my hand. But that he's caught between the courtesy of waiting for the call, only if you are given permission. So the servant stands bewildered between the two. And I think we taste these states, even, you know, we don't want to compare ourselves necessarily to an exalted one like that, but what he experiences, we also experience in some degrees. And we feel in that action between being, you know, almost pushed away and called near, and drawn away again and called near. Return, for I may have need of thee. So this is a line in puts, but irji, as we know, comes from Quran in the where Allah addresses the soul, mutmaina or irji nafsi mutmaina. Says, return to your Lord, most pleased and well pleasing to you. Can it, and this is Iraqi again, can it be you will say, I shall see you in this world, and that again I may sit with you a moment in joy, that I shall hear with heart's ear your heart expanding words, that with spirit's eye I shall see your all comforting face. I am unworthy of you, but accept me, take me for good or ill. What can I do? I am what I am. Just once pass this way, for I am pained with desire. Spare one glance at my condition, wretched in the extreme. Of my existence in this world, not a trace would remain if the hope of union with you did not sustain me with solace. But now I am happy, with my last breath hovering at my lips. Yes, happy, because your lips are my own sweet soul. The story is long, but life is short, and I have not the strength to speak. because of the indications of the Sheikh Al-Akbar, may Allah be well pleased with him, I left Rum and came to the sanctuaries of Damascus and Jerusalem. From there, I went on to the tomb of the Prophet in the Hejaz. Here, I am awaiting further indications. I gather that you are not coming to inquire after my state. During sleep, then, at least send your image. Since the compassion of your presence is general, this is back to the letter, I hope that for your servant it will be specific. May you continue to dwell in the station of perfecting the imperfect and elevating the words of the perfect. I ask for you the best, and that within you the whole may become manifest, that whole within which there is no whole and no part, and all praise belongs to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Iraqi. So let's offer a Fatiha for the soul of this magnificent being, Faridudin Iraqi, and for his teacher, Sadruddin Kunawi, for the secret heart of our peers, for those wonderful beings. And may their secrets manifest within our own hearts in this last 10 days of the Ramadan. Al-Fatiha, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa sabbi wa salam. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين امين لا اله الا هو